Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Friday, May 17th, 2019. And it looks like we finally had some dry weather, and we're hoping today that it will be a bit windy, but a high of 81 degrees and a low of 64. And on this beautiful Friday, we have a picture, a beautiful picture of a grain bin and a big truck pulling through, and it says a semi-trailer makes a delivery of soybeans Thursday to the Cargill processing plant in Bloomington. Area farmers face limited markets as Canadian and South American farmers step into the void left when tariffs drove China away from buying U.S. soybeans. And the title is Wet Fields, Tariffs Weigh on Area Farmers' Minds. Central Illinois farmers have had fewer than 24 hours in May suitable for field work, putting them behind schedule and getting crops in the ground. But more time to think about the failure of trade negotiations with China. As farmers, we are used to working with several moving targets, but with the whole uncertainty about the trade deals, seems like it adds another one, said Jean Whitaker, who farms near Decatur. Between the tariffs and the rain, it just feels like a bad start to a planting season, said Tom English, a Logan County farmer near Emmond. As of Monday, only 11% of the corn in Illinois was in the ground compared to 88% last year and 82% over the past 5 years. Wet ground due to heavy rains in the first 2 weeks of the month has stalled planters. Some farmers, like Rick Strum of rural DeWitt County near Clinton, got back into the field Thursday. Once we get started, assuming it stays dry, you may not see me again for 6 weeks, he said. It's still pretty muddy, and some fields still have standing water. While that is a short-term problem, farmers also are concerned about the ongoing trade war with China, and worry that the damage inflicted on the soybean market will continue to grow. Earlier this month, President Trump announced raising tariffs on over $2 billion worth of Chinese goods and taking steps to tax nearly all of China's imports as important as a punishment for what he said was China's attempt to renegotiate a trade deal. Soybean farmers are among the hardest hit and most vulnerable to the continued tensions, said Lynn Robichaud, president of the Bloomington-based Illinois Soybean Growers Association. The article continues on A2 and says that despite assurances from Washington, D.C., the trade war between the U.S. and China lingers. We continue to see missed deadlines and unbrokered deals. As this persists, we face more pain and uncertainty at the time when we must take the risk of planting another year's crop. Robichaud noted this is the second year in a row that soybean farmers have been affected. When China's reciprocal tariffs hit our soybeans last summer, we lost nearly one-third of our market overnight, she said. It was a predictable and preventable blow that no other major U.S. company or industry has had to endure. It seems like when it rains, it pours. Illinois soybean producers face greater challenges each day without a deal. We see no end in sight. There must be a better long-term strategy to remain viable and win the trade wars. The only soybean farmers not scared are our competitors. Soybean futures dropped to their lowest prices in 10 years on Monday and are down about 20% compared to a year ago. July and August futures closed at $8.35 and $8.24, respectively. Farmers are concerned, agreed Todd Sage, general manager at Bloomington Ag high-speed rail loading facility built in 1999 by a joint venture of 8 Illinois grain elevators. The facility originates grain by truck and then ships shuttle trains to domestic destinations and Mexico. At Ag Rail, we have not seen much of a change because our shipments are all domestic, and so everything has remained pretty stable, he said. But it is on the minds of our farmers, I know. Last year, soybean farmers were offered trade aid payments of $1.65 per bushel, divided by 50%, but corn producers qualified for only 1 penny per bushel payment. Bloomington-based Illinois Farm Bureau President Richard Gubert Jr. is frustrated that farmers continue to bear the brunt of the trade war. We are deeply concerned about the imposition of the retaliatory tariffs that could further impact agriculture. Tariffs historically have not been good for the farm economy. Farmers are on the front lines of the trade war and are sacrificing their livelihoods, and it hasn't gotten better. We are sitting on a huge inventory of grain while our export markets are being diminished. And it is starting to hit farmers in the pocketbook, he added. Corn and soybean prices are depressed, combined with a delayed 2019 planting season due to heavy rains, and farmers are facing their sixth straight year of declining net farm income. So that's something to consider as we look at some of the other news in the area. Certainly a big problem for us in this area, the lowering prices for grain. And here's a little news. I so enjoy this paper, and it looks like the editor is set to retire on May 31st. Mark Pickering, editor of the Pantograph since 2006, and deputy regional editor of the Lee Enterprises Central Illinois Group, is retiring. Pickering, 62, has spent more than 37 years with the paper, rising from a reporter to a metro editor to deputy regional editor. Along the way, he met his wife, Jane, who is the newspaper's day desk editor, mentored scores of reporters and editors, and led the newsroom staff to a multitude of statewide and company awards. His last day at work will be May 31st. I've had a great career at the Pantograph, he says. It continues on page two that I have had the respect for our news staff and newsroomers who came before them, said Pickering. The importance of local journalism cannot be denied, and our staff will continue to do the very best job they can going forward. On behalf of our entire organization, I want to thank Mark for his 37 years of dedicated service to the Pantograph and to the Bloomington Normal community, said President and Publisher Michelle Pazar. Under Mark's leadership, our newsroom covered important events, wrote critical and insightful articles, and won numerous awards. He was integral in moving the Pantograph from an ink-on-pen product to a multimedia communications company. We will miss him, and I wish him all the best as he moves into the next chapter of his life. Community leaders also weighed in. Good for Mark in the sense that he probably deserves a retirement, said Normal Mayor Chris Coos. He's been a great editor, always responsive, always a good ear when I needed to talk to him. He cares a lot about the community. It's going to be a loss for the Pantograph, but you'll need somebody great. You'll find somebody great. I just wish him the best of luck in his retirement. This is a huge loss, but just for the not just for the Pantograph, but for our entire community, said Bloomington Mayor Tari Renner. His standards of journalism have been outstanding and of the highest professionalism. I have nothing but the deepest respect for Mark. He was always there, very reasonable, amenable, gregarious, and yet professional. I wish he weren't retiring. I'm very sorry to see him step down, and I wish him well. Pickering is credited with making the initial connection with downtown landlords Robert and Vicky Varney, into whose building at 205 North Main Street the Pantograph moved in the spring of 2018. His leadership during the newsroom's portion of the move. What stays? What goes? Why do we still have that? Helped greatly in the transition for staff and uninterrupted coverage for the newspaper's subscribers. It was during his tenure that the newsroom began to produce its stellar online content on multiple platforms, moved its page production to a regional design center, and transitioned from an in-house press to a contract agreement with the Peoria Journal-Star. Pickering was a reporter and editor at the Mount Vernon Register News before joining the Pantograph in late 1981. Back when reporters shared video display terminals on swivel platforms and used bag cellular phones to call in stories from the newspaper's fleet of orange and black cars. He also saw the transition from the old city line call in news data, news update service to the company's widely respected and award-winning website of today. I hate to see Mark leave the business. He was a rock steady editor who kept the engine of the Pantograph running, said St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter Kurt Erickson, who worked with Pickering at the Pantograph from 1989 to 2015. Mark gave me the room to track down stories, the guidance to make them better. He played a key role in shaping my career, helping me focus on nailing down the details and communicating them in a readable manner. Former managing editor Bill Wills of Bloomington said part of the reason he helped hire Pickering was he had a nose for news that I really liked. I'm really impressed with what he's done, said Wills, who retired in 2006. He's done a remarkable job. He hasn't backed off any stories. And Wills noted that Pickering got along with people, adding Mark was pretty well respected in the industry as well. One strong supporter of community and visible presence at many Pantograph events, Pickering also is a longtime board member of the Associated Press Managing Editors Association, Illinois Press Association, and the Pantograph Goodfellow Fund. He has no immediate plans in retirement other than watching Cardinals games in their entirety and enjoying the summer with the couple's college-age children, Thomas and Caroline. The Pantograph and Pantograph.com have a combined reach of 83% of the local media market. Sharing information, though, through print, website, email, tablets, and mobile devices. So what a nice way to go out in style. We come to our last article on the front page, and it's, again, part of the national politics that are being presented, and it talks about President tries to tamp down talk of war with Iran. President Donald Trump said Thursday that he hopes the U.S. is not on a path to war with Iran amid fears that his two most hawkish advisors could be angling for such a conflict with the Islamic Republic. Asked if the United States was going to war with Iran, the president replied, "I hope not," a day after he repeated a desire for dialogue, tweeting, "I'm sure that Iran will want to talk soon." The tone contrasted with series of moves by the U.S. and Iran that have sharply escalated tensions in the Middle East in recent days. For the past year, national National Security Advisor John Bolton and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo have been the public face of the administration's maximum pressure campaign against Tehran. The friction has rattled lawmakers who are demanding more information on the White House's claim of rising Iranian aggression. Top leaders in Congress received a classified briefing on Iran Thursday, but many other lawmakers, from both parties, have criticized the White House for not keeping them informed. Iran poses a particular challenge for Trump while he talks tough against foreign advisories to the delight of his supporters. A military confrontation with Iran could make him appear to be backtracking on a campaign pledge to keep America out of the foreign entanglements. Lawmakers and allies, however, worry that any erratic and or miscalculated response from Trump could send the U.S. careening into conflict. Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Iranian nuclear deal last year and reinstated sanctions on Tehran that are crippling its economy. Tensions rose dramatically May 5th when Bolton announced that the USS Abraham Lincoln carrier strike group would be rushed from the Mediterranean to the Persian Gulf ahead of a schedule in response to a number of troubling escalatory indications and warnings, without going into details. Since then, four oil tankers, including two belonging to Saudi Arabia, were targeted in an apparent act of sabotage off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. According to officials in the region, a Saudi pipeline was attacked by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels from Yemen. So that kind of, let's look back through and be sure we have everything from the front page. We've presented the story about the wet fields and the tariffs causing problems. And we've also talked about, the retirement of Mr. Pickering, the editor of the Pantograph, which is scheduled for May 31st. And finally, the national news of rumors of war with Iran. So we've kind of dealt with all three of those things. And let's look on a little further into the paper. Oh my, it seems like a little guy was hit on a scooter by a car and he's hospitalized. Child on scooter hit by car hospitalized. This is on page A2. It says a child out of Bloomington was struck by a car Thursday afternoon at the intersection of Evans and Empire Streets, Bloomington police said. An officer at the scene said about 4:45, the child was struck while riding an electric scooter. The child, whom the police declined to identify further, was taken to OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center, Bloomington, with injuries, but additional information about those injuries was not available Thursday night. There were no reports of anyone else being injured. The police crime scene unit was later called to the scene and Empire between Clinton and McLean streets. The street was closed to traffic until about 8:30 p.m. The area was cordoned off during the investigation, and a child-sized scooter could be seen within the area surrounded by the police tape. Further information about the indictment was not immediately available. And this is from Kelsey Watzner at 309-820-1254. So hoping the little guy gets better. And then we're going to get on here to, let's look at, oh, how about how time flies? If you were born, or if you know or remember 1919, on this date, May 17, 1919, Joseph Petra wanted a pump for his backyard well, so he stole one from his neighbor and caught up and got caught. In court, he told the judge in German that he didn't understand the proceedings. So the judge made sure Petra understood and continued the hearing in German. So if you were, that'd be quite a surprise to you, I think, if you thought you were going to get off and then the judge speaks German. 75 years ago in 1944, Bloomington Mayor Marion William Baylor is an accomplished tenor, and he recently toured the West Coast camps, entertaining the troops with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. Baylor's wife and son live on West Grove Street, so that was a nice return home for Mr. William Baylor. And then we have 1969. The date is May 17th, and Leland Bush is appointed mayor pro tem in Gibson City after the registration of majority of the after the resignation of Mayor Charles Crowley. A special election is scheduled for July 28 due to the 1965 state laws. Results of the April election were thrown out, and no candidate filled under a party banner. Now, just a short 25 years ago in 1994, Clinton Boulevard is open again with a brand new bridge. The old bridge was closed a year ago and then was rebuilt in 99.5 of 120 allotted working days. But with exceptionality, wet weather, there weren't many days suitable for the working, says Serendar Shit, the city attorney. And then that concludes our How Time Flies, but we don't want to miss out on a classic four page two, and that is Flix Fact. Okay, so Flick has to say that a true or false question. If you visit the libraries at Princeton, Yale, and Dartmouth universities, you might also think of Bloomington. Okay. So if you're in even some of the major universities, Princeton, Yale, or Dartmouth, you might have something that makes you think of Bloomington. What in the world could that be? It's true or false? Well, I hope you thought it was true because the Boston architectural firm of Shipley, Bulfinch, Richardson, and Abbott designed those university libraries. They did Illinois Wesleyan, Ames Library also. So, fun fact that someone from way back east took interest in our libraries here in the Midwest and has done an excellent job. So, we have just a wee bit more to go in this half hour. Oh, and we have two. Oh, I did want to tell you about road closings. Valley View Circle in Bloomington, Valley View Circle from JC Parkway to Wiley Drive in Bloomington is closed to all traffic. Due to street repairs. So that's something to be aware of as you're here in town and running about. The Valley View Circle from JC Parkway to Wiley Drive is being looked at. It's closed and is closed to all traffic for street repairs. And then last, we have the history for today. And it says today is Friday the 17th, the 137th day of 2019. There are actually 220 days left in the year, but we'd like to mark that in 2004, Massachusetts became the first state to allow same-sex marriages in this century. And secondly, that the thought for the day, always dream and shoot higher than you know you can do. Don't bother just to be better than your contemporaries or predecessors. Try to be better than yourself. This was put out by William Faulkner, an American author, from 1897 to 1962. See if we can find one more short piece that you might enjoy. We have just a couple of minutes here until we take our break, so I'd like to go through real briefly some of the TV and radio highlights of sports that you might be interested in this weekend. First of all, we have at 5 o'clock NASCAR qualifying races on Fox Sport 1, and at 7:30 there's the truck, a North Carolina Educational Lottery 200 truck races at the Fox Sports Center 1, and that comes at 7:30. So you have NASCAR on at 5 and trucks at 5:30 on Fox Sports tonight. Now, if you're a baseball fan, you've got a beautiful range here. Let's see. It's 6 o'clock. The Cubs at the Nationals on Channel 59, WAOE. The Astros and the Red Sox on the Major League Baseball Network. The Cardinals at the Rangers. This is FSM or WJBC. And then we have the Blue Jays and the Rangers. Okay. And they are the Blue Jays at the White Sox. Okay. So that's right up there in Chicago. And that's NBC SCH, the NBC Sports Channel. But I hope I didn't forget to tell you that the Cubs and the Nationals are on WAOE, Channel 59. And then, of course, there's also the Astros and the Red Sox. Did I mention them at 6 o'clock? So two of the games at 6, that's the Cubs and Nationals and the Astros and the Reds. And 7 o'clock, time for those Cardinals. And the Blue Jays, Cardinals are playing the Rangers on FSM. And the Blue Jays are at the White Sox field, and that's NBCSCH at 7 p.m. And we're going to take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Friday, May 17th. And please stay tuned.